Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
This crowd rises to its feet. Vaccaro slams it home. Garland left wing, three ball. Perfect. Garland right of the lane, locked the Mobley. Pow! And Allen blocked the shot at the rim. Pow! With the left hand and a foul.
Welcome to the Chase Down Podcast, part of the Cavs Media Family. I'm your host, Justin Rowan. The Chase Down is presented by Fubo, the official streaming partner of the Cavs. Watch over 350 channels of live sports and TV, including Bally Sports Ohio, without cable. There's no cost and no commitment. Try for free at FuboTV.com/Cavs. Well, they say a series does not start until the road team wins, which I guess means we are entering a best of three series against the Orlando Magic with no prior information. Tough one for the Cavs as they were continue to not be able to string together offensive consistency on the road. Joining me today is my co-host Carter Rodriguez. Carter, how you doing, buddy?
Doing good. It's
that was a tough one.
anniversary dinner with the wife, and I'm not gonna let a basketball game ruin my energy going into a rare date night. No, I'm sad.
You're channeling LeBron with the it's just basketball at the end of the day.
No, I'm sad and frustrated. As much as you want to say it's one game, it's individual games, and it doesn't matter if you win, by one or 100. And that the series is tied. It doesn't feel tied right now, Justin.
No, momentum is firmly on Orlando's side right now. I think, obviously, I saw a tweet that Tim Bontemps put out, a ESPN stat, that this is the fourth series in NBA history to be tied 2-2 with 20-point leads in each win. But when you're looking and kind of diagnosing those wins, Orlando was able to make pushes later in games in both of those home Cleveland wins. Cavs, it's been a bit of the opposite, right? Like, I thought they came out today with a very good game plan. I liked what they were doing in the first half. A 60-point first half, you're feeling good about it. You feel like, hey, the Cavs are going to be on the right side of 100 points again today. And then none of that really continued. And I think the disappointing thing for me kind of looking at this performance is I feel like the Cavs went away from what was working more than Orlando pushed them away from that, right? Like, I feel like they got a little bit rushed. Orlando scored, a couple quick baskets to open the third quarter, and that led to pressing rather than going back to kind of some of those bread and butter sets that they were using earlier. I really liked in the first half the horns actions that they were running with either Garland or Mitchell setting up in the weak side corner, them coming off of that screen, coming off a pin down and attacking with advantage. I thought that got Orlando into rotation. I thought that allowed them to target Paolo Banchero on the defensive end of the floor. And I didn't really feel like Orlando was making some defensive adjustment that took those type of sets away that made it harder for the Cavs to, run their stat pick and rolls, run the things that were working. I feel like the Cavs just kind of got away from that and didn't show composure on the offensive end of the floor.
It's another game where a rope is let go of.
Yeah.
You get punched, you punch Orlando in the mouth, and they've stuck around. even in game one and two, they stuck around and made it and made the Cavs beat them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just don't think this team has done that. I mean, a 37-10 quarter is about as bad as I've ever seen. A 29-point half, a total collapse.
Especially, you know, like, when you consider that this isn't a particularly strong offensive Orlando Magic team, right? Like, what we saw last year in the postseason, like, the Knicks had their runs, but it wasn't 37-10, right? Like, the Cavs managed to, you know, for the most part, stay in the majority of those games. And, you know, it was a little deflating when they couldn't close them out or they couldn't get over the hump. You know, kind of the typical thing where you see a team use up a lot of energy to erase a lead and then they just don't have enough to get it over the goal line. That's not what we're seeing here. We're seeing, you know, just a complete abandonment of what's working. And, you know, we've now seen with this group of the core four, we've now seen 9 playoff games of them together, and they've only scored over 100 points once. And, you know, I think I was coming into after watching the first half, I was saying, you know, I really like what we've gotten out of the core. You know, Donovan is really pacing the team. He's playing great basketball. That's forced Jalen Suggs to be on him pretty much full time. That's opened up opportunities for Darius to get guys going. Jared Allen has been great. I thought Mobley had a good first half. And it was like, we just need kind of the guys like Max Strus and George Niang and Caris LeVert and Isaac Okoro. We need them to step up and kind of join the party. And in the second half, it went the other way. Like, I really
think the starters were the ones that let go of the game.
100%. I think the third quarter was one of the toughest that I've seen from Evan Mobley offensively. I think, obviously, Donovan Mitchell had possibly his worst playoff half as a Cavalier. 18 points in the first half, 0 points in the second. Six turnovers to 6 assists. And you know, I think a lot of those came in the second half. I just felt like he was pressing a little bit too much, and, you know, it was just really disappointing to see them go away from that. And honestly, I think from an accountability standpoint, it always starts with the stars. Like, when the stars aren't performing at that level, that's where you need to start, because those are the type of guys, like, when you bring in a guy like Donovan Mitchell, you want those type of runs that other teams make to be answered by your star. How many times, you know, it's so unfair to compare him to LeBron James, but, you know, that's our reference point. But when, you know, other teams would go on runs, you'd get kind of those timely buckets to settle things down. And, okay, you know,
we were getting maintaining those composure in games one and two. We were getting those.
100%. He was doing that. And, you know, that's kind of a consistent theme when we talk about the series, is the things that we need to see the Cavs do, we've seen them do. We've seen them do it in the series. We've even seen it on the road in Orlando. It's just not coming at a consistent rate. And that's what makes it the most frustrating, because it's not like we're seeing anything that we don't have an answer for. Or
they're not getting out talented. They're not.
No, it's not a situation where you need to reinvent the wheel necessarily. It's, why are we getting away from the wheel? Why are we removing the tires and trying to get this car to move?
Yeah. I mean, Mitchell and Mobley, 1-for-11 in the second half, 0-of-3 from 3. Neither got a free throw attempt. Donnie had 4 turnovers to 4 field goal attempts.
Yeah.
Just pretty devastating stuff. I mean, you look at the second half plus minus, and it kind of just tells the story. In just the second half, Max was minus 26. Evan was minus 29. Donovan minus 28 and Darius minus 31.
Mm-hmm. Those type of swings just can't happen, right?
And I mean, this is the postseason, man.
Yeah.
This is a team that is not that much better than them. And, you know, you can, and it just feels, you know, it again, I was kind of kicking myself for being a little bit more pessimistic going into this this series, saying Cavs in 7, but I said on that Garage Beers pod that we guessed on that I thought Magic in 7 was, you know, the next most likely outcome.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the kind of thing I thought might happen, you know, where it's like the team just is not consistent in who they are. And it's especially disappointing given that has been their kind of trademark in this era is, you know, on a night to night basis, you kind of knew what this team was going to give you. And then I just feel like starting in last year's postseason and through much of the year, I didn't know what kind of Cavs I was going to get on a night to night or a quarter to quarter basis. So, you know, that part's disappointing. And then you also just look at the fact that, you know, they're getting even less from their role players. And I don't know if it is a byproduct of, because last year against the Knicks, it felt very clear to me, at least, that it was like they didn't have role players that they could rely on. The stars were getting okay looks for them, I guess. But, like, you know, like it, like they were just not getting guarded. You know, I think they are missing
open looks.
Yeah, and maybe this year it is a little different, where Orlando is just so much better from a personnel perspective that they can make the Cavs role, they can guard the Cavs stars and the role players, but like
it doesn't can't feel be like it. Max is getting particularly open, right? Like No, he's not. He cashed his one kind of open three coming in, off the baseline out of bounds play, but outside of that, like, he's kind of been forced to take a lot of contested looks and just hasn't been getting free. And, you know, that's the interesting thing about this Orlando Magic defense is you get past that initial layer of defense, I still feel like you get decent looks. Like, the Cavs did a terrific job in the first half. You know, the three-point shot's not falling, but they're getting to the rim consistently, right? Like, they're running, they're getting into multiple actions. They were playing with pace and they were attacking the rim, which is what we asked for, really, right? Like, we had come on the pod after game three and said, hey, I feel like you could put Paolo in more actions defensively. They really started off doing that at a high level. They were playing with more pace. They 40 points in the paint in the first half. Like, that was the type of offensive adjustments that we wanted to see. That can help them at least have a higher floor offensively while you're waiting for those three-point shots to fall. And then, like I said, you just got away from that. And it's disappointing. Obviously, another one of those major stories is the discrepancy between bench production. And, you know, Isaac Okoro plays nearly 40 minutes in these two games, has 0 points, only takes three shots. Like, you know, that's not working well. The Nyanya and Strus minutes aren't going well. Caris LeVert. The one thing I'll say about Caris LeVert, because I, when he was putting the ball on the floor, I didn't love the decision-making in this game. I thought this was a tough game for Caris. The one thing I did like was those horn sets that I was talking about earlier. He was often the one initiating on the strong side with Donovan or Darius coming from the weak side. I thought that those sets really worked well, and that was some of the Cavs' best offense on the night. Not that he was doing anything, you know, particularly impressive on those plays, but I just wanted to point out that I did like those kind of actions. But, I mean, you look at this stretch where the Cavs just haven't been able to generate playoff offense, and everybody is going to pick and choose where they want to assign blame. It really is across the board because, you know, people are going to focus on the two big lineups. Well, coming into this game, offensive rating of 87 when it's just Mobley out there and 109 when it's just Allen, right? I'm sure those aren't going to be improved a whole lot from this game. Neither of those offensive ratings are good enough, right? You could talk about the guard play. I think you absolutely should. We talked about how Donovan Mitchell paced them well in the first half and fell apart in the second half. Garland was getting free with Jalen Suggs finally off of him, but, you know, he drives into congestion far too frequently, right? Like, those mid-range pull-ups are available for him. And honestly, like, on a night where nobody really gets it going, right? Like Mitchell is 5 of 14. Mobley is struggling offensively in the third. If Jalen Suggs isn't on you, and you're shooting well, like, Garland shouldn't be 5 of 11. If you're having that efficient of a night, you should be taking more shots. You should be forcing the issue. I would rather see him go 5 of 18 or 5 of 20 rather than 5 of 11, especially on a night where guys are, you know, struggling offensively. Like, I just think across the board, honestly, everybody but Jared Allen needs to be better.
Dude, and to your Darius point, you know, like, I remember when you know, 2 years ago, and even a lot of times last year, I'm like, we got to get Darius on the floor so he can calm us down.
Yeah.
and get our offense in shape again. That's the impact I'm not feeling at all. You know, it's, you know, the Magic are going nuts in the third against the Donovan-led lineup, and then Darius comes back out, and you don't even notice him most possessions. And it's just like, you know, you can't afford to have him be invisible in this game. You know, you look at the line, 14-6, only two turnovers, 2 of 5 from three. You go, okay, Darius had an okay game, but it's like, well, you can't just be okay.
Right.
Like, he's got to be we can't spend all the time talking about how he's the straw that stirs the drink for this offense and then not be like, hey, this is a problem. But to your point, it's just across the board. Jared Allen is the only Cavalier who played even decently in these two games.
Yeah.
You can't have that happen. You can't have this degree of a collapse. And like, I don't know, because of that, you know, this is, again, where I feel like I have deja vu, where, you know, if they can't turn this around, it's so hard to even identify what's wrong. Yeah. Because it's going wrong so thoroughly. You know, Donovan is not able to score even remotely efficiently. The role players can't hit threes. I mean, I guess if I'm JB, game five is when I start trying more Marcus Morris, I guess. You know, the Merrill minutes haven't gone that well.
No.
You know, everyone's saying play Sam more, but I'm not really seeing that. I've not seen him get a lot of, you know, a lot of reason. I guess you just probably need to say, we're just going to play as good a defense as we can. I feel like the Cavs have looked their best in this series when they're just mashing Orlando with size and strength. And, like, you know, it'd be nice to have Dean in this series, but you don't. So if Niang's going to play 17 minutes and only take 1-3, and your team's only going to take 17 in the game, you know, and 7 in the first half when your offense was even doing well, like, then you might as well try something. But like, I spent all season talking about pumpkin insurance, and, you know, too many guys are turning into pumpkins right now. You can only afford to have one or two.
Yeah.
Especially when you're not at full health. So like, I don't know, man, it's a bummer. It's a bummer that this offense has found no road to consistent production. I thought their process was better in game one and two. I mean, it's easier to feel that way because they won those games.
Yeah.
But I thought their process in the first half was awesome. I was like, oh man, they really figured something out. And then it's just a complete abandonment, to your point. So like, I don't know if it's a matter of changing the strategy or just, I don't know, believing in your strategy a little more.
Yeah.
Or having a counterpunch in your bag when a team does change a little bit to mess with what you're doing. I don't know what combination it is. I think at this point, you know, again, the series is tied, but like, it doesn't feel tied. It feels like Orlando has all the cards going in. And of course it's going to feel that way. They won two in a row. You know, I do wonder how much I'd be having this conversation if we lose this game by 4 points.
Yeah.
But I mean, the worst loss in franchise history followed by another 30-point loss. I mean, you at least have to consider that, you know, something big might be wrong.
Yeah, and, you know, I came on the pod after we were up 2-0 saying that there's a very good chance that this is coming back to 2-2. Orlando's a better team at home and whatnot. I'll say the same thing. Like, I think it's very possible that the Cavs win the next two games. Like, they have shown everything they need to show that they can go out and win at home. And I think, you know, what we saw in the first half is something that can be replicated. I think they can play better than that, right? It's just about whether or not this team is able to find that level of consistency. So we'll see if there's some changes going into game five. The one thing I think we can kind of count on to not change up, though, with Game 5 is where we'll be recording after, which is Zoom. Support for this podcast and the following message comes from Zoom. 500,000 businesses connect using Zoom, a single platform for phone, chat, workspaces, events, apps, and video. Zoom enables real-time collaboration for teams around the globe. Zoom, how the world connects.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Carter, you mentioned the possibility of, you know, going to a little bit more Marcus Morris and you know, leaning into that defensive identity rather than, you know, I would assume that would be for Niang, who has kind of struggled, especially with Orlando upping the pace. You know, the tough thing is, like, we talk about the Cavs' offense and the struggles that they have. When the Cavs have offensive struggles, it's basketball. Like, that, those struggles lead into offensive success for Orlando because that allows them to get out into transition. That allows them to not face a locked-in half-court Cavs defense, because the first half, Cavs were on a string. Like, they were showing and recovering. The recoveries were there.
So many good possessions that they just stopped doing.
Right, but, you know...
They just stopped.
But how many possessions in the second half were Orlando coming off of a miss, pushing with pace, and they weren't even able to get set to get into that defensive identity again, right? Like, that's...
I think there is some of that. There were some tweaks. I noticed Keith Smith over at SpotTrack kind of noted that they started setting their screens, like, damn near half court.
Right.
To just kind of get that running start.
Which is something the Cavs did early in the series. Like, they've really gone to those high screens against Orlando to try to break up that you know, perimeter defense.
So, like, I don't know, but that's where I kind of go back to the you've got to have a counterpunch, man. Like, mm-hmm. You know, again, you're up 9 points going into the third quarter. If even if you only score 10 points, if you only allow 20,
yeah.
You know, the game's tied going into the fourth. And we know the
I
team
appreciate
can,
the math lesson, by the way.
I know. We know that this team can play good. Like, throw away the offensive frustrations. Like, the fact that you're just getting run off the floor on the other side, mm-hmm. is like, man. And some of that is transition, but some of that is just like, it again, it's just kind of goes back to that letting go of the rope where, you know, if you just like, at least keep it ugly both ways. At least relish the fight of like, hey, we can't score for crap right now, but like, we're going to lock in too. We're going to take care, better care of the ball. We're going to grind out possessions, and we trust that we can get more stops than they can get. And like, it's just not to the point you've made before. There is just a lack of commitment to the belief system, mm-hmm. Where, you know, they just kind of start hooping out there, and not in a good way.
Yeah, right. Like, I continue to think that when they run the stuff, it looks good. They generate good looks, and it's just, you know, whether you want to call it lack of discipline or whatever the cause is, right? Like, that's, you know, that's the type of stuff that we just will never know unless you're in that locker room. So I don't feel comfortable even speculating. But whatever it is, the end result is getting away from what's working, and that's. That's so frustrating because I can see, you know, when you are running something and you're generating good looks and you're missing those looks and you're not having success offensively, I understand as a basketball player how you would get away from that, right? You're going to try to get something else to you know, go back to your comfort zone, go back to your pet plays, try to get something to see the ball go in the hoop. But when you're having offensive success, and you're still going away from that, that's something that I have a harder time kind of squaring away. One thing,
you know, you just don't know who to be mad at, you know, like,
right. Well, that's,
so I'm going to default to, I'm just going to be bummed with everything.
Right. Right. And that's why you can't, like, anyone that's trying to simplify this and put it on any one person. Usually that's because they're trying to, you know, they have their favorite players that they want to defend and whatnot. And that's, you know, you can't do that here. Like, Darius needs to be better. Donovan needs to be better. Evan needs to be better. Jarrett, you get a pass. And again, you know, this is maybe one of those examples, just to briefly take it to the macro here. You know, everyone wanted their pound of flesh with Jarrett Allen last postseason. And I think, you know, he's an example of how things can turn around on an individual level and an individual basis. And we understand that Darius and Donovan are both playing through injuries And you know, there's mitigating factors here, but with the state that they're in, the decision making is poor, right? Like, you made a really smart point about how Donovan, even though he's lacking some of what he typically would have offensively, he learned to play with those limitations and kind of had an understanding of what he can go to. I don't feel like that understanding has been as sound. Like, even in the first half, there were times where I felt like he was pressing and, you know, the ball got a little bit loose, but either he or someone else on the team recovered it and those kind of mistakes weren't really punished. In the second half, they all got punished and everything went the other way. So I just feel like there just hasn't been that, you know, that same kind of composure out of him, which you'd really hope that he'd be kind of leading the way when it comes to composure.
Yeah, you would hope that. It's just it's just disappointing. I'm trying to remind myself that this is 2-2, and you know, but like it's just I think part of, you know, you mentioned the Jarrett thing, that Jarrett's been so good in all four games.
He's been terrific. Like, honestly, he's been so good.
The only one who's been great consistently in this series. And you know, you think, I just kind of thought, like, I don't know, maybe I thought it would be a little bit more one-to-one. It's like, okay, Jarrett figured things out, and look at all the other things that's opening up.
Yeah.
And on, at least on the offensive side of the ball, I thought we were great on defense last year. I will go to my grave saying that we were great on defense last year.
Yeah.
But
Jarrett maybe got out of our defensive scheme a few too many times, and that impacted rebounding, but overall, I agree.
Sure. But like in this instance, it all, you know, they are so, you know, they're still so lost, even with a player playing great on that side of the ball, that you kind of hoped everything would kind of click into place. And it's not at all, dude. They have better personnel with better reputations that required being guarded, and it's still not working. And maybe it just comes down to the guards are either going to be good enough in the postseason or they're not.
Yeah.
And maybe for all the searching we do for roster construction and scheme and flexibility, like, it might just come down to, hey, if Darius and Donovan aren't like the third and fourth best player in the series, at least, you're just not going to win, which they're not right now.
No, absolutely not. Like, Franz Wagner came into this series struggling offensively, right? Like, he'd been in a funk. He had, you know, been dealing with some injuries. I think it was a hip issue that he was dealing with. And he scored 86 points in this series, and Donovan scored 84. Like, Franz Wagner can't outscore Donovan.
That sucks. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah. He's outscored Donovan Mitchell in this series. And, you know, that's when you talk about adjustments, like, we want to say shoot better. But, you know, tonight this afternoon, Cavs didn't even really get up threes. Like, that was a disappointing thing. Like, I liked what they did to attack the basket and, you know, get Paolo potentially in foul trouble. I felt like there was a few times where he could have picked up his third, fourth, and fifth pretty easily and didn't. But, you know, you understand that it's going to take something pretty blatant for him to actually get put into foul trouble. But, you know, the fact that they weren't even getting the threes up, I thought was discouraging. When you're talking about adjustments going into game five and changes to the rotation, you obviously mentioned Marcus Morris. I want to get your thoughts on this, because this... Like, when Morris has been out there, I've liked what he's given from a toughness standpoint, but I just think from, like, a sustainability standpoint, I still am a little uneasy. Like, it's something that you can try, but, you know, it's a bio player, right? Would you consider going to Isaac Okoro and Max Strus when you're downshifting it as the forwards?
No.
And using Isaac as a screener and just try to really go small ball?
No, because I don't believe that the offense is going to make up for that answer. I don't think they're going to score enough, and they're going to they're still going to turn the ball over, except they're going to be a bunch of 6'5" guys on the floor.
Yeah, it's possible.
I'm probably just going to roll with every time they've shifted down that far in this series.
It hasn't worked
with only one big on the floor. I've hated what it's done to our defense, and I haven't seen any juice for the offense out of it. So I'd rather play Tristan Thompson and Evan Mobley.
And just stay big and really double down on defense.
Just be huge and defend. If I can't get anything out of Niang or Morris in this series, I might as well just upshift and try to ugly it up, because I'm not seeing enough from Isaac. I'm not seeing enough from Max. I'm not seeing enough from Karis to say, let's give those guys more run.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
And one other thing is, it also makes it impossible to flip the Merrill switch, because then you're just way small.
Yeah.
Like, I think the only time, if I'm JB, the only time I'm gonna, JFK in the chat mad that I stole his take in real time about Tristan. Sorry, JFK. I think the only time I would play Merrill minutes is when I have two bigs on the floor.
Yeah.
When I have Evan and Jared out there, that's when I would play Merrill. And it might just mean Darius, Donovan, Evan, Jarrett, you're going to play 44 minutes each, 42 minutes each. And you just have to, you just try to go down swinging with the only guys who have shown you anything in the series.
Mm-hmm.
Because the bench just, the role guys just so can't. And then you bring in Merrill, you bring in Strews, you bring in Karras, and whoever plays the best in as that fifth guy, yeah. I guess you're closing the game. I hate going down to a functional like six man rotation, but I think, especially if game five does not go their way, like I would, and I think this is actually important to say, because I'm suggesting big swings here. That's my final break glass in case of emergency. That's my I'm about to get eliminated rotation.
Yeah. I was going to say I'm not doing that in game five.
No, because
you have to bank on these guys, right? Like you have to. The easiest path to turning things around is guys like Niang, Strus finding their rhythm. Isaac, playing like he did at home rather than how he did on the road, right? Like Isaac, I think, has been the biggest shift home to road. Strus and Niang just haven't really had it at either location, but Isaac had been such a big part of those games. And you're right. I was spitballing the joys of doing a live podcast here. If Orlando was trying to ungunk the offense and we were seeing lots of like Joe Ingles at the four, I think that's something you can go to, but we've seen it go the other way, right? Like we've seen Franz Wagner at the two, we've seen them go really big, and that really does make it a whole lot harder to downshift to your point.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables. Ooh, yum. And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Yeah, and I think what I would do if I were this coaching staff going into game five is I give one quarter with the current rotational plan. And if they score 25 plus, not a high bar, they score 25 plus, then I roll. But if Niang comes out and gets, by the way, here's a little we're doing a lot of just vague complaining right now. Here's an actual tactical thing that I talked about when I suggested that they might go back to starting WCJ, is it allows Mo and Isaac to play together in their second unit, and Isaac at the four is killing us.
I can't believe the shots he's hitting. He's
hitting shots, and then he's also free safetying. He's not the rim protector in these bench lineups, because Mo has to be. And so Niang is getting even less. Niang had a ton of open looks in games one and two that he just missed. He's not getting nothing
right
in Orlando. And
he's getting to play the Mobley role, right? And we've seen that consistently, right? Like whether it's Draymond Green, whether that's Jaren Jackson Jr., Evan Mobley, all these kind of big time difference makers defensively. Usually they're allowed to roam a little bit with someone else taking those rim protection duties. And you got Jonathan Isaac, who's one of the best defenders in the league, playing in that role. So it, as you said, it's absolutely wreaking havoc out there.
Yeah. So I think, you know, I'm giving the team, you know, I'm giving them a chance. Don't get me wrong. I want to give this rotation a chance, but if Niang comes out and misses 2-3 threes, or, you know, can't get loose, I'm going to try the Marcus Morris lever. And, yeah. And
if I was going to say, I'd give them a half, like, and yeah, I promise I'm not trying to be a smart ass here, but like, if you go out and you score 60 in the first half, like you'll feel pretty good about that.
Yeah. Well, of course. Yeah. It's just one of those things, but like, and then otherwise on the rotation, I probably do something like, I try to get Merrill in with the two bigs, so you still have the back line to protect him.
Yeah.
But if you're not going to generate open threes in this series, which we have not done at a high level, well, you might as well hit the guy who hits the hardest threes on the team.
Yeah.
And give it a honestly, shot. But none of these feel great. I think the biggest difference between us on this podcast in a time like this and like people on Twitter is like, I'm suggesting stuff, but I'm not so sure it's going to work.
Right.
I think the guys just got to play better.
Yeah. And, you know, to your point, if you do pull that lever and you go to like a Tristan Thompson Mobley to insulate Sam Merrill, the other thing is Tristan out there could potentially help free up Sam because he sets such good screens. And the one thing that I've seen consistently when Merrill's playing outside of, you know, garbage time in game three was he's having trouble getting free, right? Like the screen navigation is phenomenal from Orlando. They're jamming him. Like he's just not getting open. And if you're having,
it's almost a bummer he killed him in that one game because then now they actually know.
Right. And you know, they had adjusted in the following games against them, and that's kind of unfortunately carried over to the playoffs. So you're right. There aren't easy answers, but so much of this is going to come down to execution. So much of this is going to be, you know, sticking with what's working and expecting more out of, you know, the core four guys, because as much as they brought in shooting and they brought in talented guys to help out, fill out the rotation, it's still like it's going to come down to your best players. That's what the playoffs are all about, and they need to play at that level. And when they have success, they need to not take themselves out of it, because I think that's really what we've seen a fair bit of is, you know, guys just getting away from what's working, and that's tough to see.
Yeah, it is, man. I really hope they answer the bell, man. Yeah. You know, a loss like this isn't, you know, these two losses aren't going to feel acceptable ever, but you know, if you at least come back out strong at home, you know, I mean, and it's important to say this team's been brutal on the road as of late. They're 4-12 in their last 16 road games. So like, this is kind of the team we've been seeing over the last couple of months on the road.
And they one of the worst road teams too, yeah. Right? Like it's and, both of but these they teams were tough are great.
Were tough as hell at home in games 1 and 2. They were resilient as hell at home. Yeah. And like, if this team wants to do anything that they want to do long-term, you can't be this bad in road games. But at least for this series, you know, there is hope that, you know, some home cooking really helps.
100%. It's one of the, you know, best crowds in the NBA. They were so loud in games 1 and 2. I expect the same thing in game 5. The Cavs come out and they take care of business and protect home court like we've seen all series so far. Like, you put the pressure right back on Orlando, and I still feel good about their ability to win a road game in this series. Like, I think that they can do it. We saw it in the first half of this game. This can still end in 6. Like, you know, as much as we make our predictions of, you know, it's going to go 6 or 7 games, you always forget that those losses always feel like the end of the world in the playoffs. Like, even when we had LeBron, I didn't have confidence. And I think I'm just a fraidy cat at heart. It is what it is. I'm comfortable admitting that on this here podcast. But they absolutely have the capability of doing it. It's just, they're going to have to do something that we haven't seen from the Cavs in a while, which is getting back to the consistent version that we saw, getting back to them being, you know, the best road team in the league rather than that 4-12 stretch that you pointed out, right? Like, it's all things that we've seen this season. It's just things that we haven't seen in a while.
I so thought they had figured it out.
The first half felt great. Honestly, it felt great.
I was so sure going into the leaving game two that this team had hit a different level of toughness and focus and discipline. Seems like they're still going to be searching. And if they don't find it, well.
Yeah. Tough questions. But it would put them in a very, very tough spot this summer. But, you know, we're a long ways away from that. Hopefully, you know, the playoff run is going to extend much beyond the series. But the pressure is 100% on them. Momentum's on Orlando's side. They're probably flying high right now like the Cavs were after the first two games. Cavs need to come out and make a statement. They need to make a statement early in game five. Dictate the terms of engagement and get back to Cavalier basketball. Big thanks to everyone that tuned in live on YouTube. Make sure you like and subscribe. Click the notification bell so you know when we're going live. If you're listening via podcast and you want to support us, leave us a rating, leave a review, subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe, and help cook those books. If you want to be part of Chasedown's exclusive Discord chat, send a screenshot of their video to chasedownpod@gmail.com. However you choose to support us, we really do appreciate it. Make sure you guys are staying safe out there. Until next time, go Cavs.